We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to episode number 4,691 of Trust the Tape, at least according to me. It's Jeff Cavanaugh alongside Brian Broaddus, and for our first time ever, we're on location as we are recording Trust the Tape for the world. And that location is sweet, sweet, sweet Boomer Jacks in Grapevine.
How about that?
Oh, I love Boomer Jacks. Trust the Tape is presented by Boomer Jacks. They got all sorts of specials for you. They got locations all over the place. Boomer Jacks is the MVP of Trust the Tape. So this will be the first Trust the Tape where the bosses will know that I'm drinking while we record.
Yeah, you've ordered well, and they actually gave you a really good options of a tall or short.
Yes.
And you immediately went short.
Right.
And then once the podcast's over, I assume you're going to go tall.
Correct. That's why I said for the first one.
For the first one.
We'll go short for the first one.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, a lot to cover in Trust the Tape today, Brian, as we have our takeaways from week 8 in college football. We look forward to week 9 in college football. And for maybe the first time here, we're going to get some prospect rankings. Mel Kiper's top 25 for the midseason has come out. We are the finest scouts in all the land in media. You, because you really did it for a living.
I did.
And me, because I just like to pretend and put on that confident air, and then people will buy it.
I think you've gotten pretty good at this, though, Jeff. We're going on to our 8th season now. And, you know, the first couple of years there, it was
a little shaky with me.
No, it was a learning process. And I think that's really what, you know, when you – and it was that way when I went to the Green Bay Packers in 1992. I'd never had any – I'd had recruiting experience and watching high school tape and stuff. But then to work with guys like John Dorsey and, you know, Scott McLuhan and John Snyder and guys, we all had to learn along the way. And so I think you have done an outstanding job yourself. Dane Brugler, David Hellman. You know, when we cover the draft on a full-time basis, we do a really, really, really nice job, I think, of kind of, getting the fans what they need to know about these players in a way that, you know, makes sense. And we're not always right, but there would be a lot of times I feel like that I would match our scouting eye with those around the league as well.
So I kind of set that up just to say I'll use Mel Kiper's rankings today because some people may know this and some people may just listen to the podcast and aren't aware that we do radio on the home of the Cowboys.
We do.
105.3 The Fan and DFW. When Dak snapped his leg in half, we started watching college tape.
We did. And you, it's funny.
When
you,
Dak doesn't snap his leg in half, we have not started on college tape yet. So we are into the college games. But if you're wanting scouting reports, that'll come down the road when we get that part of the game going.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's interesting, Jeff, because I was thinking about this last night because the calendar is about to change. So we're about to get into, like, November. And to me, where I generally start scouting...
Is it scout time? November?
December 1st.
Okay.
So I'm looking at really 4 more weeks, and, you know, if you follow guys like, you know, with Dane Brugler and the others who do this for a full-time deal... You know, they're full into it because they've been doing this since May, since really Memorial Day, and you know, almost a year. So that's, to me, where I kind of feel like that, man, there's a lot of catching up to do, but that it's also a very fun time, though, to kind of watch college games and then know that you're going to catch college tape. You're going to watch Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss. You're going to watch... Iowa, Michigan, Penn State. There's all these teams that you're going to watch. I know we have Huskies in the fans here today, so you'll watch the University of Washington.
Washington.
Washington. You watch those Huskies out west. And so, this is, you know, in a month's time, you and I will be diving into this thing full time as we also navigate a Dallas Cowboys season.
So now we take a look at this last week, and I will tell you I'm thoroughly enjoying this college football season because chaos is upon us and
it
chaos
is
still happening.
It is.
It is such a survival game for teams that were used to dominating.
Yeah.
Alabama is now back in the top three in the country despite their loss to Texas A&M. And it's because even some of the undefeated teams in college football that are Power 5 teams either haven't played impressive teams or they are just scraping by. For instance, my Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah.
They just keep surviving. They are not, like, every week that you watch, and this one, it's going to halftime against Kansas, and you haven't scored a single point yet. But you're able to, you know, pull it out in the second half, and Oklahoma wins, so they stay in the top four. They're 8-0, but they're surviving. Cincinnati, who is number two in the country. You know what you don't want to play against if you're number two in the country? And the service academies are scary to play, Brian. Because you never know if they're going to go on a 13-minute drive that ends with a field goal, and you're like, all right, we better score on our next drive because we might only get two possessions this whole game. Playing against the service academies is tough. In Cincinnati, they survived against Navy. It's not all of the teams we're used to, and it's not dominance. It's Georgia and everybody else.
Yeah, Georgia has shown that if and when, and this weekend they have a very big game at the cocktail party in Jacksonville. One of the great, if you have Texas OU as the Cotton Bowl, is a great neutral site venue. The game in Jacksonville there between Florida and Georgia, with the two schools between the Jacksonville. You just never really know how that is going to turn out for either team. And there's been plenty of times where both teams have been ranked. There's been times where one team, Florida, was clearly better than Georgia. Georgia gets a win, vice versa in that game. I've been a part of the cocktail party. And it's, the passion, the fans, everything about it screams SEC football, but it also screams, Georgia, you kind of need to be on high alert as far as one of these games that, that the old saying is, hey, you throw out all the records and when these two teams meet. But in this case, it really, really is the case. I mean, Dan Mullen is taking a lot of heat in Florida right now for their record. They had a bad loss in Baton Rouge here against LSU just recently. I mean, fans are after him. So Florida needs to come out and have an outstanding effort, an outstanding game against Georgia. But, man, clearly when you watch Georgia play, they are the best team in college football I could see so far.
Oh, and the defense is just awesome.
Yeah.
That offense, maybe when you play a team like Alabama, maybe you don't score. Like, I will not write off that Alabama can still win the SEC. Because I just think Bryce Young at quarterback, playing the way that he's capable of playing, that they could probably score enough points to beat a team even like Georgia. But for the moment, it's Georgia. That's the Power 5 team that has proven that they belong. So right now, if the season ended, you're looking at Georgia, Cincinnati, Alabama, Oklahoma. Obviously, the season does not end today.
No.
Because there's 50 Big Ten teams that are right there on the doorstep, and they're going to sort themselves out as the season goes along. I think Ohio State is back in the playoff picture
they're
now.
They're back in the picture, clearly,
like,
yeah.
Michigan and Michigan State are going to play this weekend. One of them is going to come out of that still undefeated and looking really, really good. Oregon is still kind of surviving, like a lot of these other schools are. They survived UCLA and moved to 6-1. So it'll be a really interesting year to see what happens as we keep going forward in the Big Ten. But C.J. Stroud and Ohio State, they figured it out. They now look like they have one of the top offenses in the country. And it took them a second to get going. They took a loss early, but now they're creeping back up. Alabama's creeping back up. So maybe I'm wrong to say it's chaos. Maybe it was just going to take a second to get back to where we always end up.
No, it's just
Clemson won't be coming this year.
Who would have thought that Alabama would have had a loss at Texas A&M and
to a backup quarterback?
To a backup quarterback, and give the Aggies a lot of credit for that victory. Alabama last year perfect on their way to the national title. This year they take the loss to Texas A&M. I mean, you kind of felt like, well, who is Alabama going to lose to? There was nobody on their schedule that you really felt like, wow, that could that they could knock them out. Maybe Ole Miss was that team, but, you know, that didn't materialize the way it is. But I kind of feel like, though, to me, that when you look at, you know, it's good in a way. I do like the Cincinnati chaos.
Oh, yeah.
But Cincinnati.
And then they're going to get beat by 50 in a playoff game. But
well, I mean, that's but that's the thing about it. I don't, to me, that's where I don't know. You know, and watching, I'm fascinated by Cincinnati because, yeah, they play at that Tulane this weekend. Tulane got smashed by SMU on a Thursday night last week. Maybe SMU is that team to go to Nippert Stadium in Cincinnati and get the upset. I mean, you watch SMU play offensively, they've been outstanding. And so, you know, that's, you know, the Bearcats at Cincinnati have navigated. They had a great victory at you know, at Notre Dame, that kind of got them in the right direction. But I still think there's a couple of things that they're going to have to I use the word navigate, and I'll continue to use the word navigate, because I think SMU is a good enough football team, ranked 19th in the country right now, going to play the Houston Cougars this week. And if they could stay on track and go to Cincinnati and get an upset, we've seen, and here I'm talking a lot about Cincinnati and SMU, but we've seen,
well, they deserve it, though.
What they do. I mean, we've seen SMU in Memphis before have that big game in Memphis to try and get them potentially. But Cincinnati is a for real team, you know, with Luke Fickell as that coach. I think he's going to be in line for that USC job. The AD out there hired him. He left Cincinnati, went out to USC, hired him at Cincinnati. If you want to play the old connect the dots game, that's a good one to connect the dots with.
Well, in Cincinnati, I think they're worth talking about because, like, I'll joke about it a lot because I do believe that a lot of teams are the teams that are group of five, not power five, and they have great seasons, and even if they go undefeated, they don't make the playoff, and it's like it's hard to figure out how to slot them. Because I, like the NCAA wants to do, I want the four best teams.
Yeah.
And if you don't think a group of five team is one of the best four teams, then you don't put them in.
Right.
But when I look at Cincinnati this year, you're talking about a team that was undefeated last year, played Georgia in the Peach Bowl, lost by a field goal.
Yeah.
Georgia's currently number one in the country.
That's right.
If you run the table this year, what more could you do to earn it? I went undefeated against everybody I played. I went toe-to-toe with Georgia in a close game. The next year I won every game. If I can't get in now, there's no such thing as getting in. Unless the answer is we have to schedule non-conference big boy power five schools that probably wouldn't want that game anyway. So yeah. For Cincinnati, yeah, I think that's as impressive as you can be. But they are going to be one of those teams. Yeah. That you have to keep winning. Like yeah. Winning against Navy by 7 won't yeah. keep you up there.
No.
You're going to have to thump people.
No, and you're right about that. And it'll be interesting to see when the first poll comes out what happens with Cincinnati. Or is the committee going to meet and put them in the top four?
Oh, the actual playoff rankings?
Yeah.
Will they paint themselves into a corner?
Yeah. I think they're going to keep Cincinnati at a level, whether it's in the top four or five or six, at least to have him there. And they're going to make Cincinnati win through. But will a Cincinnati team overtake a one-loss team? An Ohio State or somebody like that. If
you
we
know
get to the
darn end. Well, the answer is no.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
One
yeah.
loss, Ohio State. They win a Big Ten title game, and it'll be.
Yeah.
Oh, we're all huddled around our TVs. Will Cincinnati hold on to number four?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
They will not. They yeah. just fell into fifth. So yeah, that's. And I guess it all depends on how the year ends. Obviously, the SEC will have a representative, whether it's Georgia or Bama. If Oklahoma runs the table, they would be a representative.
Well, how many times, what's going to be a little bit fascinating here is what's going to happen in the Big Ten? Because
oh, who knows?
How
I
many,
mean, hell,
okay,
even
okay.
this weekend, who knows?
Yeah, okay, but we've seen, and maybe it's they're eating their own, you know, along the way, because you do have a Michigan State matchup this weekend.
And you have Penn State at Ohio State.
Penn State, Ohio State, exactly. But, you know, Penn State kind of.
Two losses.
And I think that's kind of eliminated any type of play, but they could play spoiler. But yeah, when was the last time that we saw the Big Ten with, you know, other than Ohio State? Michigan's playing well. Michigan State's playing well. Iowa's playing well. You know, these are the kinds of things that I think that you have to, you know, now the Big Ten can kind of puff their chest out a little bit and say, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. You slighted us all those times. Remember last year when it came down to the playoffs and all these COVID games, and we were worried about Ohio State being able to play enough games to even get into the playoff consideration. Well, now you're talking about four or five teams.
In the top 10.
From the Big Ten, they're all going to, trust me, they're all going to bang their chest about how do you leave me out over, say, if Cincinnati somehow gets into this thing.
And they're all very different teams in the Big Ten right now. Like, I feel like Ohio State is that hyper-explosive offense since they've sort of gotten it figured out with Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, C.J. Stroud. Iowa, the number 9 team in the country, I feel like is very different. That's a tough, mistake-free, let you screw it up and we'll take advantage sort of a team. And then Michigan State is going to go a long way to sorting out what this conference could look like as we see them play this weekend. Now, moving forward, I mean, I guess we've already mentioned this past weekend there were no ranked versus ranked games.
Bad week.
Didn't have any.
Yeah.
And still not a bad week of college football, because even with the none of that,
well, bad week,
we still
because
had five ranked teams lose.
Yeah. Well, a bad week because my LSU Tigers took it on the chin against Ole Miss. So that was a bad week overall. But, no, you're right about that.
And I had to watch a 9 overtime game with Penn State and Illinois, and I watched
crazy.
Every single overtime.
That was crazy how
I didn't realize they changed the rule.
Yeah.
It's after just two possessions.
Yeah.
You just go from the 2-yard line over and over.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there watching that, and I'm like, wait, I watched LSU and A&M play 7 overtimes.
I was
overtimes.
At that game. I was at the LSU, and that game
that's
was
a real 7 overtimes.
That was a real 7 overtime.
This 9 overtime was 2 real overtimes and some 2-point conversions. I don't want to hear about the longest game. That was not longer than LSU A&M.
That is wrong. Yeah.
It was not close.
Absolutely.
But it was kind of fun to watch.
It was fun.
As no one could get 2 yards to save their lives.
You'd figure that college programs have really good 2-point plays.
They don't.
Not in the Big Ten.
Or they ran out.
They ran out of them for sure.
So, yes, now we are looking at going forward the 3 rank versus rank games that we have. Penn State at Ohio State.
Right.
I mean, Penn State at this point is really grasping at, is there any way to claw back into this thing? But as a 2-loss team, Ohio State at home against Penn State is playing to try to climb into the top 4, work their way to the Big Ten title game, and then into the playoff. Michigan State, I feel like this one is a game. First of all, it's their first top 10 meeting between them since 1964.
Yeah, how about that?
And I feel like this one is kind of the even like respect bowl, because you're like, okay, Big Ten, 2 undefeated teams, neither one in the top 4. So the coaches, the Associated Press, they're looking at your schedule so far and going, eh, whatever. So whoever wins that one will get some respect. And then the other rank versus rank is Matt Corral and Ole Miss, number 10, against number 18, Auburn, 2 teams in the SEC West race.
Yeah, I've seen both of those teams. Auburn made a trip to Baton Rouge, saw that. They were able to get out of that one. Bo Nix did a nice job running around making miracle plays. He's going to have to make some miracle plays against Ole Miss to win this game. You talk about Corral and what he's able to do. Lane Kiffin, they play at such – both teams want to play at a really fast pace. But I think with Mississippi, though, and Mississippi struggled with their wide receivers, with their skill guys, moving around cornerbacks to have to go play wide receivers. But, man, their ability to make plays, how they're playing defensively, though, it'll be a really nice matchup. But I kind of feel like that Ole Miss is going to run away with this football game.
I really enjoy watching Ole Miss play this year because I like what Lane Kiffin is doing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I would draw a comparison, actually, if you're an NFL fan, to what happened in the Bengals and Ravens game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's 10 minutes left in the game or whatever, and it's 4th and 6 in your own end. You're down by 10 points.
Yeah.
Harbaugh was out there and said, we're going to go for it.
Right.
Because if we don't get it and they score points, I don't care. Like, I'm trying to win the game. I don't care if I lose by 50. We're trying to win the game. And Ole Miss did that same thing when they played Bama. Where it's like, we're going to go for it on 4th down every time.
Yeah.
Because if we can make it, maybe we beat you. I don't care what we lose by. I'm out here trying to win the game. And that's kind of the way that Lane Kiffin and them approach it.
You know what? And that's what modern coaches need to think about. When people like us in the media in the post game ask Lane Kiffin, well, coach, why were you going for it so many times on 4th down?
I was trying to win.
I'm just trying to win. do you guys see who I'm playing? I'm playing Nick Saban. I think he's won 7 national championships in his coaching career. That's one of the best teams in the history of college football, best programs in college football.
Got to get to 50.
So if you want to ask me why I'm trying to do something different, I guess I could punt every time and lose this game by 50.
Yeah.
Or I could go for it every time and still lose this game by 50. So, yeah, I think that these coaches, you know, the analytics part of it has been really fascinating in how some of these coaches have figured out. It's like, listen, punting the football is losing football. And, you know, and I think that Lane Kiffin and the guys like that that have been able to kind of manage that have done a really nice job and kind of moved the game into a way that where, you know, hey, we're going to see more teams go for it on their end of the field.
So now I want to move over to see if there's any interesting takeaways.
Good menu here at Boomer Jacks, by the way, right?
Oh, yes. Thank you to Boomer Jacks. Yeah. We are at the location in Grapevine out here by DFW Airport.
Really nice crowd. A lot of TVs.
Oh, gosh. They have I don't even want to guess a number, but this has to be their biggest location. This place is huge.
It is.
They're filling it up. You got MLB on. You got NBA on.
Yeah.
You got the World Series on. You got everything happening at Boomer Jacks. Look how many locations there are. Some number in the teens at DFW.
I guarantee they're all good.
They're great.
Just get them on your phone like you did, Jeffrey. That wasn't too hard.
No, wasn't hard at all.
Friendly staff here. They're going to help you out. And like you mentioned, all the TVs. And they're letting us talk college football and other things in Trust the Tape. So we really do appreciate that.
And the beer is a perfect temperature. It's very cold.
It is.
So what I want to do is I want to rip through Mel Kiper's top 25 prospects on ESPN. And we'll have a much better order when we start putting things in order. But for now, Mel will have to do, just to see if there's any takeaways from it. Because when I looked at it, there was one thing I was curious about, how the national people would have them ranked.
Yeah.
And I kind of got my answer, but we'll have to scroll a little bit to get to it. So number one right now in the prospect rankings for him is Kayvon Thibodeau, the defensive end out of Oregon, who we have seen play. The dude's a monster.
He is a monster. And you know, with really no clear-cut quarterback yet.
Yep.
Yet. And I use the word yet because as we go through the process, there will be that Joe Burrow that is the... Or there won't. That might be the 32nd ranked prospect, and then all of a sudden he ends up as the number one prospect. But, yeah, I think the thing with Thibodeau is when you watch Oregon play, and you can clearly tell when he's not on the field, they struggle with some, you know his ability to get up the field, attack the pocket. He's hard to block. I mean, it's such an active guy. And, you know, he looks the part, square built, powerful body and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm trying to remember in my era of defensive tackles getting selected first overall, I think I have to go back to Steve Ettman. You know, when I'm thinking about guys that were first overall picks, I'm sure there's guys that have been drafted.
He's an edge guy.
Yeah.
He's an edge guy.
Yeah. But a guy that could play in, I think play in or out, the flexibility. But I'm just thinking about a dominant defensive lineman.
Number two is Kyle Hamilton, the safety out of Notre Dame, who he is the modern safety. He's I can't believe he's 6'4", but he's listed as 6'4", 219. And you want to cover, he can cover. You want to hit, he can hit. You want to play the run, he can play the run. Kyle Hamilton is everything for that Notre Dame defense. And he left the game against USC, and he will miss the game against North Carolina. But super versatility, super athletic.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
Yeah.
Number three is Derek Stingley Jr., cornerback LSU, which to me is wild because in 2019 he was incredible as a freshman.
Right.
2020 he was not incredible.
Nope.
2021 he's been hurt.
Yep.
How long does your draft stock from when you were 18 or 19 years old, how long does that hold up?
It's going to hold up for him until probably where
draft
he's...
day.
Yeah, but you know, this is what's so disappointing, again, from the LSU, from my standpoint of being alum, is you're right. The national championship season, he was outstanding. And then you start to wonder, the team started to go south. They
so
had
did
a
he.
lot of problems last year. And then you're worried about, well, is he really hurt? Is he not hurt? Is he sitting out because he's protecting himself? And then he gets hurt this year going in. And, you know, you really have him for, I mean, his career at LSU is going to be one season. And that's his freshman year. And so if you really want to evaluate, it's much like some of these receivers or defensive backs or even players that sat out. Remember last year with Micah Parsons when the evaluations, you know, he sat out because of COVID. So now you're looking at film from 2 years ago to try and make an evaluation. Stingley's going to be the same way. His career at LSU, I'd have to say, was not much of a career. It was really 1 year.
Number four on Mel Kiper's top 25 prospects at this point is Drake London, the huge wide receiver at USC, been incredibly productive this year. Number five is Evan Neal, the giant offensive tackle out of Alabama. Number six.
You figured there was going to be an offensive tackle up there, though, right?
Yes. Alabama. And you figured there was going to be an Alabama offensive lineman.
Yeah, there was going to be an Alabama offensive lineman up there for sure. And Neal, man, you tell you what, you look, you watch Alabama play, and they, especially when they wear their all-white uniforms, they just look like giants lined up next to each other out there. So
360.
Alabama always has those big, physical, tough offensive linemen that you're going to have to look at in the draft.
So I'm working my way down and notice the position I haven't said yet. We have not gotten to a quarterback yet.
We have not.
Number six, Aiden Hutchinson, the defensive end at Michigan.
I watched him because I felt like that he was going to come out last year. So I've seen
him. Oh, you've already seen him.
I've seen his kid play because I felt like that he was, like I say, was going to come out. You talk about a kind of a Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa kind of a clone when it comes to, like, low running around blocks, staying low, getting into the pocket, being around fumbles, sack fumbles. Hutchinson, he's a fun one to watch last year. Again, I thought that was a guy that's going to come out. He came back to Michigan, and he's playing really, really well for them.
Charles Cross, offensive tackle, Mississippi State, is number seven.
Couple offensive linemen there.
Devin Lloyd, linebacker, Utah, is number eight. Mm-hmm. What position have I not said yet?
You haven't said a quarterback.
Trevor Penning, offensive tackle, Northern Iowa.
How about that?
Northern Iowa will churn out some NFL players for you now.
We'll get to watch. We'll get to watch that Northern Iowa tape. It's usually pretty good from that dome there in Iowa. And I'll tell you what, it's fun. You know, it's nice to have again a smaller school guy, because you know you and I and Dane always, we love to watch those smaller school guys play and then trying to project him like, whoa.
Yeah, you get to watch him dominate everyone. Exactly. And you're like, okay, how does that look against?
And then he ends up at the Senior Bowl, right. And then we're all going, oh, he's really is pretty good.
Yeah, and that's where you answer the question.
That's where you answer the question.
Is it the Shrine or the Senior Bowl or whatever?
Yeah.
DeMarvin Leal, the defensive lineman out of Texas A&M, speaking of guys that can play up and down the line.
That's him.
He is a monster. He's number 10 for Mel Kiper at this point. 11 is Jamison Williams, wide receiver,
right,
Alabama.
You're the Alabama. Well, you're the wide receiver.
So I haven't even noticed him yet.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
Because every year at Bama, what happens is while we're watching tape,
there's somebody else.
I notice a guy not eligible yet. And for them, it was Mechie this year.
Yeah.
So I know Mechie, and I'll see if he's in the top 25 as we go.
Yeah.
I didn't know Jamison Williams yet.
It's funny that you say that because you've now learned what NFL scouts go through every year when you watch tape, especially when you have two teams that are like have a lot of prospects. You go, well, hey, who's that number 97? Oh, don't worry about him. He's a sophomore. Yeah. You always notice somebody that you're not supposed to watch.
Yeah.
When you should be watching like Minchie or somebody
when
else.
When we were watching Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs, I was like, oh, Devontae Smith. Why isn't he coming out in the draft? He's amazing.
Exactly.
And then last year watching Devontae Smith, I was like, who is this Mechie? Yeah. Oh, he's not eligible yet.
Exactly.
So there is Jamison Williams at 11. Number 12 is Tyler Linderbaum.
There's your center.
The center from Iowa.
I've watched him because I thought he was going to come out. And you talk about a guy, I thought at the time, I'm glad he went back because, to me, there was a little bit of undersize. I didn't see a very powerful guy. I think he might be listed at like 290, 295, something like that. He doesn't look like the strongest, like a Big Ten type of a center, but you talk about athletic ability, second-level block, reach, scoop, help with protection and all that. He is an outstanding player in that regard.
And then here I'm going to guess that this will not be the only Georgia defender in the top 25.
No.
But N'Kobe Dean, inside linebacker at Georgia, is number 13. Kingsley Inagbare, don't kill me if I say something wrong, South Carolina edge guy, is number 14.
Ah.
And now at 15 we get to a quarterback.
Yes.
So the question is, will need push these up? Will these rankings change as we get closer, or are we staring down the barrel of an E.J. Manuel draft where maybe the first quarterback goes in the teens? Kenny Pickett, quarterback Pitt, They've only lost one game this year. Yeah. Kenny Pickett has played great.
He has.
And so he is number 15 at this point.
It's funny because usually Kuiper over-evaluates quarterbacks. And in this case, he has one in the top 15. But remember how we started with you know, the prospects at North Carolina, your prospects at Cincinnati, all these prospects. And the first one to be at 15, I have a feeling, Jeff, that when we get to the quarterback evaluations, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle to kind of find the right guy. And whether that's, you know, the guy at Ole Miss or the guy at Cincinnati or, you know, North Carolina, wherever, it is going to be a lot of like, I'm not sure about this guy.
I don't know.
Yeah, you get a little Tony Romo. Jim, I don't know. Exactly. So, yeah, but the fact that the first quarterback's at that spot, I think, is a very eye-opening to a lot of teams.
Mel Kiper's top 25 prospects at the midpoint or so of the college football season. I guess we're past the midpoint. Jahan Dotson, the wide receiver at Penn State, he makes big plays every week.
He sure does.
Smaller wide receiver,
sure
super
does.
Explosive. Number 17, Ohio State offensive tackle Nicholas Petit-Frere. 18, Ohio State wide receiver Garrett Wilson. 19, Roger McCreary, corner at Auburn. 20, here's your second
quarterback. There's your quarterback right
there. Matt Corral, quarterback Ole Miss, who I've probably seen play five times this year.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. Do you have any type of comparison with him?
Yeah, I compare him to Baker.
Yeah, he's
undersized, but kind of wants to get chippy and run into people for no reason, even though he's he's not super athletic, but he's willing to lower a shoulder into a secondary guy.
I was watching him on the goal line against LSU the other day.
You don't mind.
It's like lower shoulder and a run over linebacker guy. You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, he plays with an incredible amount of toughness. I think he's a slightly built guy.
Like not a big guy.
I mean, he looks for
not
6 foot.
Not a huge arm.
Yeah, he's not
accurate,
thick.
Smart, tough. Yeah.
Will somebody see that as a first round player?
Yep.
I guess you're probably right.
Teams need quarterbacks.
You're probably right.
Number 21 is Chris Olave, wide receiver, Ohio State.
Well, that's kind of a drop for him. We thought he might be a Heisman Trophy type of a candidate, didn't we, initially?
Yeah.
When we did the first show, we were like, oh, check out Chris Olave.
I mean, I've watched Olave last year because I thought he was going to come out in the draft, and I like him. But he's also one of those guys where it's like, what's your standout trait?
Yeah.
He's a slim-ish wide receiver who I don't think is a burner.
Yeah.
He's just really good. He's a good, nuanced wide receiver that catches everything. Offensive tackle out of Minnesota, Daniel Falele, is number 22.
He is a big man. I remember watching him in the early season games. They were playing Ohio State there in Minneapolis. That dude is huge.
6'9", 380.
He is huge, and he moves very well.
Treylon Burks, the big slot receiver out of Arkansas, is number 23. Elam, the Florida corner, 24. And Desmond Ritter, Cincy's quarterback, number 25.
He's got all those quarterbacks together near the bottom of the board. It'll be interesting to see, like you said, Jeff, if, in fact, need elevates some of these guys to higher standards.
Malik Willis, Liberty, is his next quarterback. Sam Howell, Phil Jerkovich.
Have you
Carson
watched him
Strong.
Play the Liberty? I haven't seen Liberty play.
Seen Liberty play, but we're about to have – hold on, I need to look this up. Because Liberty, this week, I believe, is playing against another top quarterback. Liberty football schedule. Hold on, let me see here.
Yeah, our buddies
We're
at Coastal.
Do it live.
Yeah, Coastal Carolina took a hit last week.
Oh, it'll be November 6th. Liberty, you'll see him because it'll be Malik Wills against Matt Corral and Ole Miss.
Oh, there you go.
That'll be a November 6th
game.
Wow,
why is Ole Miss scheduling that game? All of a sudden, they probably thought they were going to get a W against Liberty. Liberty might come in there and
late season tune-up.
Yeah,
late season tune-up.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so do you have any parting shots as we are here live? It is Trust the Tape presented by Boomer Jacks, live at Boomer Jacks, because otherwise we're about to shut this thing down and Boomer Jack it up.
Yeah, you know, what I think about as we kind of navigate, again, the word I use for the remainder of these college games is, you know, keep an eye on all the names at Kuiper, and I guarantee we'll have a better list than what Kuiper's got. But right now, that's kind of what you go off of.
You got to work off what you got. Let's go, Dane. Give
Burgler,
me a top 100.
Dane will give us a top 100. I'm sure that he'll have a lot more players on there. But I think where some of these guys are positioned as we get ready to really start to dive into the draft, I know me personally, December 1st is always my day. So four more weeks of that, but I'm fascinated about the quarterbacks. I love the fact there's a bunch of offensive linemen there. I love the fact there's some defensive ends involved and then some linebackers. And how about a safety being in the top five of the draft potentially? That doesn't happen very often. But yeah. I will say this, though. If all of a sudden it, you know, we start to do this legwork and he's clearly worth that, then, you know, I kind of feeling that this will be a fun draft because it'll be with a lot of different levels. And it'll be a draft of maybe take the best available player.
Maybe do that all the time.
That kind of works.
Or as close as you can to it, realistically.
Kind of works.
All right, that'll do it for episode number 56,491 of Trust the Tape live at Boomer Jack's. For Brian Broaddus at Brian Broaddus on Twitter, I'm Jeff Cavanaugh at JC1053. And we will catch you next week on Trust the Tape, presented by Boomer Jacks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.